week by our featured guest this evening, a great actor, someone who's been on our screens, in the theaters for years and years and years. We're joined on the line now by one of the greats, Julian Sands. Julian, how are you this fine evening?
Good evening, Tim. I'm very well, thanks. Yes, years and years and years.
Oh, you've done great stuff.
But that's been my privilege. You know, I feel so very lucky to have been able to have what we might call a body of experience.
A great range of work. Obviously, the early classics, and I got to name drop them because some of our young listeners, we got a lot of young listeners on the show, they won't know them. Yeah, you did Room with a View.
Room with a View, that was a classic.
Great, great show. Killing Fields. I mean, great performances.
Yeah.
But you've done stuff recently, and we can't ignore that. You've done Ocean's 13, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You've done great stuff. Consistent.
Well, thank you. I always try and keep things different, and that keeps things interesting for me. I mean, by looking for new opportunities. I just came back from England yesterday.
Okay.
This is very late at night. In fact, the clocks went forward this morning. Whereas promoting a film called Walk Like a Panther. And for the young people listening, check out on YouTube Rick Astley. He sings our title song, Walk Like a Panther.
Really? Wow. Really?
It's a ton of fun and gives you a very good impression of the movie. It's about
Panthers are in. Yeah. Panthers are big this month.
Yeah.
So what's the film about? What's Walk Like a Panther?
It's about a bunch of geezers putting together their old wrestling team from 30 years ago for one last rumble at a northern competition to try and save their local pub. And there's some I might call it the blood, the sweat, the spandex.
Hey, I like it. I like it.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Because yeah. People in America, they love wrestling. They
love
wrestling.
Love wrestling, and
EF, whatever it's on.
was an extraordinary phenomenon, and it actually wiped out British wrestling, which was much more low-key and less glamorous. Hokey, I think, is a word. But it had its cult following, and it's a celebration of British wrestling that we evoke in the movie.
WWE produced a president of the United States.
Who was
Donald Trump.
Was,
my goodness.
He was involved. There's that great bit of video of Donald Trump who was part of a WWE promotion where he was wrestling the head of the organization.
He shaved his head.
What was his name? Vince McMahon.
I didn't know this.
There's
going to tell me that Jesse Ventura was president.
No. That he governor of Michigan, wasn't he?
Wisconsin.
Minnesota.
Donald Trump at WWE. He got into the ring and shaved the head of Vince McMahon.
There was some bet that he had.
Yeah.
And it makes for very good meme-ridden videos that can circulate on the internet, Julian, about him in our president, Donald J. Trump, in the ring. Now I've got to let people know, as many of them do, you've made the transition over to Peak TV really well. You've done so many great TV shows, big name TV shows. How do you find being in TV shows now compared to work you've done in the past or the movies? Because you've been in a lot of great stuff.
Well, thank you. TV shows, I loved being guesting on TV shows because there's some very, very good writing on television, which wasn't necessarily the case, 30 years ago. And things like Gotham or 24. Most recently, I did a guest as the world's greatest art forger on the Sherlock film. It's not a TV show. It's not called Sherlock.
Elementary.
It's called Elementary.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a couple of episodes that Lucy Liu directed. And
ooh.
I worked with her on a European art film, and she called me. And the production values and the quality of the writing and the depth and the range of writing now is a very different thing from the TV shows I grew up with.
Yeah.
Some of your readers may not remember things like Bonanza.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
And the Lucille Ball show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, looking back at like Three's Company and Laverne and Shirley, you're not getting the character arc that you're getting in peak TV now. But we're here to talk about a great live theatrical performance that you're part of now. Can you tell our audience about Daniel Deronda?
Daniel Deronda. Well, we're in rehearsals at the moment, and Daniel Deronda is a 19th century novel by George Eliot, which explores the complexity of the British class system, the search for identity. It's about a young man who has been adopted by an upper-class British family, but he always feels like an outsider, and it's his search for identity, and that his journey takes him into a wonderful story in which he discovers his Jewish origins and the beauty and the fulfillment for him of entering into the Jewish Kabbalah. It's a mysticism and there's a texture and an experience he encounters which is fascinating, very moving, and very contemporary. There's also wonderful, characters who encounters. There is romance, there's drama, there's deceit, there is a gothic element to this story.
It's got it
and
all.
It's fabulous theater, and so again, if young people aren't used to the idea of a sort of a 19th century story, makes them wary. This has all the elements of Gotham or 24 or Elementary or Smallville. It's very rich, and a wonderful group of actors, and we perform it live. The performances are recorded and then they're broadcast on the radio, where they can also hear it. But for me it's such a worthwhile experience for audience and performer as this live event. So, Daniel Deronda. And if you can read all about it at latw.org, that's the theater, the LA Theater Works, and they will tell you about dates and tickets. But it's from Thursday.
This Thursday. And there's room for a live audience. People can go to the website, get tickets, and go and see you perform.
Without a live, the live audience is such an essential element to the event, because the audience participation, I'd almost go as far as to say it's interactive. Otherwise, if the difference between what we do and regular radio drama would be we'd be sitting in a studio and just reading to each other. Right. But because there's an audience, it is a much more complex experience.
What character are you playing?
I'm sorry, Tim.
Yeah, what character are you playing?
I play Grand Court. Grand Court is the villain of the piece.
Ooh, all right.
That's always the best role.
Daniel Deronda's search for his identity. I try to take his girl. To take his fortune.
And of course, it's worth mentioning that this is a story written by George Eliot, who is a female writer in the 19th century. Marianne Evans, at a time when women were not expected to write, and it was very successful.
Incredibly successful. I mean, Daniel Deronda and Middlemarch are her great masterpieces, and a lot of people, you know, she took this name, George Eliot. People think of her, think she, the author is a man, but you're absolutely right. The publishers insisted that she took a pseudonym. And in the end, she liked it because she became so successful that she could maintain her own private life and not be, I mean, she's a superstar.
The Bronte sisters.
The Bronte sisters did exactly the same thing. They published under male names, but then dropped that facade.
They were sort of androgynous names.
Were they?
Yeah, Acton Bell.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much, Julian Sands. We knew and loved you, and great films of the years, great TV shows. Now, I want to encourage everyone out there listening to this to consider going and seeing Daniel Deronda in the coming days. Thank you so much, Julian, for being part of the big...
You have a great experience. And check out Rick Astley's Walk Like a Panther video.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Thank you
You'll
so very much.
In a gold, a golden lame song.
Hey ho. That's enough for me. Thank you so much, Julian. Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break.